and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Last time in our study of the book of Ephesians, we talked about how that Jesus was a sacrifice. And we often think of the sacrifice that Jesus made was a sacrifice bringing salvation to all who would accept the sacrifice, who is Jesus himself, and that is true that he did offer himself and that was the sacrifice. But there is a deeper meaning concerning the sacrifice of Jesus. That sacrifice Jesus made was also for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, for an odor of a sweet smell, and that is, God is well pleased with the offering on the ground of its sweetness, and as a result, we are reconciled to God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We were made acceptable to God because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Well, we also see the ointment compounded the principle. In other words, the spices poured out upon Aaron's head. This is a representation of what would take place when Jesus came. This was an example and answers to the variety of the graces by which Christ was enabled to offer himself, a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. Another type or prophecy by figure was the sweet savor, and that's the savor of rest, which God smelled in Noah's sacrifice, according to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, where it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every thing living as I have done." Now, once again, Jesus Christ, and I remind you of this, the sacrifice that Jesus made was not only on the cross of Calvary, but the sacrifice that he made was living his life perfectly, living a life sinlessly perfect. That was a sacrifice unto God. Now in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." That's us. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We're to live as Jesus lived. Now I realize we're not God and we're not Jesus Christ. But we're to live as close to Jesus, as close to God as we can in this life. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. He saved us by his blood on the cross of Calvary. He saved us that we could be as he is. And one day we will be as he is, perfect. Not God, not Jesus Christ, but we in ourselves as Christ, without sin, perfect in the sight of God. Now, might I say this, that you and I who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God right now, we are already perfected. In other words, it's just as though we are already in heaven. How can that be? It can be because Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave his life, not only on the cross of Calvary, but during his life on this earth. Everything worked together as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And because of that, when God sees us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, who offered himself for us as that sweet-smelling savor. Well, now as we look on in the book of Ephesians, we're starting with verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Notice this today as we look into this. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering." Here it is again, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And notice these things. Now, those things mentioned in verses 1 and 2, when offered to God, become a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, things that are well-pleasing to God as a proper sacrifice that is acceptable to him. Verse 3, we see, but. Ephesians 5:3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Now, as Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus, he's saying, don't be trapped into uncleanness or covetousness. Don't ever let it even be named among any of you, because you are saints. He says, as becometh saints. Notice this, but fornication, that verse says. You see, this was a common sin among the unsaved then as it is now. It's prevalent on every hand that we look around today, and we see this everywhere. And this would also be one which the Ephesians evidently were in spatial danger of falling into, and so is man today, so is saved people today. You say, well, I don't think I'll ever do that. I'm too good for that. I'm too close to God. I'll never have that happen. Well, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. It doesn't mean to lose your salvation. That means that you underestimate the old sinful flesh. Romans 1, 28 and 29 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. This means to degenerate, good for nothing mind, to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, suitable. Verse 29 of Romans 1 goes on to say, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. This is evil, iniquity, sin, covetousness, greed. This is materialism. And that's what the world looks at today. When we say that person is very successful, someone looks at someone else and says, that person is very successful. More or less, they're looking at what they have. And these people who have want more and more and more. We should never look at an individual and think they are successful simply because they have money, they have lands, they have houses, and they have everything seemingly that this world can give them. We should never covet those things, because that is not the most important thing in this life. The most important thing in this life, first of all, is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then it's to share the gospel with other individuals that they too would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and share the gospel with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to share the Word of God, that each of us will be able to walk according to the graces that God has given us. Well, that verse in verse 29 of Romans 1 goes on to say maliciousness. This is viciousness, cruelty, unkindness. And we see that all around us today. Full of envy. This is jealousy and resentment. And once again, many times people resent what someone else has. Do not do that. Don't fall into that trap. Be excited about what God has given you. The word murder is there. Murder, debate. This is arguing. Deceit, being underhanded. Malignity, this is full of deadliness. Whisperers, this is gossipers. I suppose if one thing causes more problems within a local church, it's those whisperers. Those gossipers who spread vicious lies, viciousness about other brothers or sisters in Christ. We should never do that, according to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication, and this fornication is sexual relations outside of marriage. It says, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Notice that verse. Verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness. This is impurity of life, in other words. And Romans 1:24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Let me remind you that Paul, in writing this, is writing to believers at the church at Ephesus. He's saying, be careful about your life. Get rid of the uncleanness. Live as close to the Lord as you can. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. God does not want us to get caught up in these fleshly things that will ruin our testimony to this world of people who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. In Ephesians 4:19, we looked at this. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. As long as a person is in this flesh, there are temptations that come along. And these temptations will tend to drag a person down. A person who is saved, not to the point of losing salvation, because that is eternal, but to the point of lost testimony to this world, lost effectiveness as a Christian to help other individuals through this life. Ephesians 4:19 once again says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, mortify, in other words, put down, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil. This is patience and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, it would be as though those things mentioned become worship things, putting them ahead of or in place of worship instead of putting God first in worship. We need to constantly put God first in our lives. You say, well, that's pretty hard. Well, it's hard for a person who's never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but for that saved person who wants to live close to the Lord, who wants to have the testimony that God has given them, the testimony that Jesus has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. If they were not cleansed from unrighteousness, they would not go to heaven. We, none of us, would go to heaven without the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God he did offer himself as a sacrifice in this life and on the cross of Calvary. He offered himself that you and I one day would see him personally. He offered himself that you and I could walk in the fullness of life, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I would ask you today to put God first in your life. Put him there that you worship him and him alone. Don't put things in the way of God. Don't put the old flesh, the things of the flesh, in the way of God. Stay close to him. Worship him. Stay in his word. Pray. Talk to the Lord, and he'll talk to you through his word. And I pray if you've never trusted him, that you will trust him as Lord and Savior, because Jesus Christ gave himself for you, that one day you could see him personally, that you too would be in heaven one day with other believers who have trusted Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. He wants to save you today. Call upon him, and he'll save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.